Das ist genau die Sorge, dass wir hier eben jetzt eine erste wirkliche Immun-Escape, also Immunfluchtmutante vor uns haben.
Hello everyone, welcome to Science Unscripted, it's Connor here.
And Gabe.
And that voice you just heard there is a very important voice, at least here in Germany, but also respected around the world. That is the voice of Germany's top virologist, Christian Drosten.
And if you heard him say the word immune escape, if in that hodgepodge of German there, he said the English term immune escape. He's talking about Omicron, the new variant of concern of SARS-CoV-2. And what Drosten is talking about there is whether or not our vaccines will be able to offer protection that will stop the spread of Omicron, because that is a real grave question right now.
It's a grave question, and I'm very hesitant to say, or let me put it this way. When Christian Drosten says something, I listen. But this is a case where, despite lots and lots of research, I'll just say it right here, there isn't enough data for us to say whether or not that's true or not.
Yeah, that's right. Drosten never was alarmist. He came out with big statements, but they were always backed by science at this point right now.
There is not enough data.
There aren't enough numbers. What there is out there, there is science out there. I'm going to show you a picture here, Connor.
And it looks like...
Look at this.
Okay, if you gave a five-year-old an orange, blue, and green crayon, they might create this image, Gabe, that you're holding.
Okay, so the blue splotches on... This is the spike protein of SARS-CoV-2, by the way. The blue and orange splotches are the mutations to the spike protein. And there are 50 different mutations on the spike protein, and half of those, approximately, half of them are on the ACE2 receptor, which is essentially where the virus binds to the human cell and gets in.
I came across a graphic that not as beautiful is that one?
It's from a hospital in Rome, by the way.
That took a look at these mutations and color-coded the different mutations, blue, purple, orange. And as you might suspect, these colors lined up with things like potentially dangerous, but we're not sure yet, or potentially dangerous. And we know it's dangerous because this is what happened in, or we've seen this with other variants. And there were a lot of, on that particular graphic, a lot of purples, possibly dangerous. We don't know.
We don't know. That is something you're going to be hearing from any expert right now, because there isn't enough data out there. What we might know is that this thing spreads faster, and that would make sense because there are double the mutations compared to Delta on this spike protein, which means it might allow this virus to spread faster because it makes it more transmissible.
That is what the data out of South Africa, or one region of South Africa, appears to indicate. And Gabe, you and I sifted through all sorts of data all day today, and finally it occurred to us to go to the source. And so we got in touch with a guy named Tom Moultrie. He's a professor of demography and more than just broad demographics, age groups.
And he's a statistician on top of that. Yeah, he's an actuary. Yeah.
For months now, he has focused exclusively on COVID-19. And so this is a guy, he's our eye in the sky. If anyone knows exactly what's happening on the ground in the Omicron hotspot of the world, it's him. And we couldn't even really get him to tell us much of anything.
There's been a significant uptick in the number of cases in the last 10 days. We don't know exactly what proportion of those are specifically to the new variant and what proportion would be due to the existing variant Delta, but that's where the sequencing will come in, and we'll hopefully get readouts on that in the next few days.
That was Tom Moultrie speaking to us from Cape Town, South Africa, and his inability to really provide answers is honest. I respect that. Because at the moment, the only people who can talk are the ones doing the genomic sequencing of these infections. Yeah. One of them being Emma Hodcroft out of Switzerland. They've done 125 at this point. And based on those sequences, the quickness with which it has spread, it might lead to the alarming tone that we heard from Christian Drosten at the top of the show. But at this point, we don't know enough. And that's what she said. She just put out a tweet today that was like, look, here it is. Here are the 125 sequences. Interpret them with caution because we don't know enough yet to say it is this or it is this or it is that.
There are a couple of, I don't know, case studies you can take a look at. Again, just but you have to be aware that they're not necessarily representative. South Africa, this outbreak, this most recent outbreak, happened primarily amongst younger people, any kids to university aged. And as a result, that's a different group of people. A virus is going to behave differently inside their bodies. At this point, they're saying that, you know, mild infections. Well, typically in that age group, the infections are mild. So that doesn't tell us anything. Secondly, that age group in South Africa, which has a low rate of double vaccination, 25%, they're even lower. So these tend to be unvaccinated people. Mm-hmm. Who are younger in age. Again, you cannot extrapolate that to the population. Then you have another very clear-cut case or two cases. These are the two flights from South Africa to Amsterdam, mm-hmm. Where of the roughly 600 passengers, 60 tested positive as they were coming off the plane for COVID-19. And we've since found out that at least some of them have this new variant, Omicron. Okay, 10% of two flights being infected is alarming. That's a lot. It either indicates a huge breakdown at the airport, you know, where they departed from, or possibly a virus that is more transmissible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough when we're sitting here saying we need more data. And in the meantime, travel between the European Union and the United States has done this as well, has been blocked to 7 countries in Africa.
And to be clear,
that sounds pretty alarming to me.
Yeah, Japan has closed its borders effectively to international travelers. Israel, I believe, is doing the same thing. That is alarming. It could also be that, as this is the case with Israel, that within the last couple of weeks or months that they have done, you know, those mock emergency practice runs. What happens if? Mm-hmm. Okay, if there's some really scary sounding news coming from somewhere, how should we react? Well, it would be a good idea to possibly, if you can sustain the economic damage, to close down shop for about 2 weeks. That's what most authorities around the world are saying. We need a couple of weeks to really figure out what this variant is doing. And while that's being figured out, to just kind of close down and make sure you're safe. And again, that is a measure that has been proven to work. If you block travel to all countries, That's fair. There you're making your country safer. If you almost, not arbitrarily, but if you choose 7, but then you allow travel from other countries to come in, this thing is out. That part is clear. It's all around. It's here in Germany.
Two cases in Germany, Czech Republic, the Netherlands, Belgium. It's probably in the United States.
It's
probably
coming
everywhere.
Yeah, it's coming to a town near you. That much is clear. But again, is it more transmissible? Possibly. It's possibly more transmissible. Is it evading our vaccines? The data
there is evidence to suggest that it might, based on people who have been reinfected with it.
People were also reinfected by the Delta variant. So reinfections, these breakthrough infections happen. We don't know at this point if this is any worse than Delta in that regard. The other thing, again, this is purely anecdotal because, again, there's not that much data. But this case from Belgium was a woman who, I believe, traveled from Cairo to Belgium via Istanbul or through Turkey. And she became symptomatic, I believe it was 11 days later, and unvaccinated. A lot of the people who have contracted this at this point, and the numbers I believe are still somewhere in the low thousands, are, from my point of view, appear to have been unvaccinated. But again, that is not clear at this point.
There is one, the head of the intensive care unit at a hospital in South Africa, Dr. Rudo Mativa, told the New York Times, that was published today, I believe, that of the very, very few severe cases, that all of the severe cases were not vaccinated. So that is something, that is data that you can actually hold on to.
Yeah, and which suggests that your vaccinations or your natural immunity from having been infected before,
that there is some protection there.
That they're possibly doing something. This, and I'm going to quote Twitter again here, random Twitter user. This kind of answers a question that I happened to come across. It was posted as a reply to a prominent virologist's tweet. And this user said, hey, I was about to get boosted today, but should I consider waiting for an updated vaccine to know if, you know, basically to wait for one that's possibly better against the Omicron variant?
Hold on. Delta is the problem right now.
No, exactly.
It's not Omicron.
No, exactly.
Omicron might be the problem in the middle of next year.
Well, or fat. No, it could be.
Right now, the booster shot is for Delta.
Well, the booster shot is for Delta and possibly Omicron. It depends. It depends. We don't know.
And if a vaccine is going to be amended, that's going to take, what, three, four months before the doses can be delivered?
Yes. The CEO or the head of Pfizer has said 95 days from research to creation. I would assume they're doing that right now. Moderna has said the same thing. They could deliver by early 2022 is what they have promised. So for those of you out here, you know, worried that the vaccines may not be working, well, in the worst case, we are roughly 100 days from the creation of an updated vaccine specifically targeting this variant. I don't think that will happen. I don't think that will prove necessary. But the other thing to think about is this Twitter user was talking about a booster shot, right? The third one. Mm-hmm. And as you said, don't think about that in the context of new variants or theoreticals. Here's real data from Israel. And what they showed is, first and foremost, if you take a look at Israel, most of the people who are hospitalized right now as a result of a COVID-19 infection are unvaccinated, something like 75%. So it's the pandemic of the unvaccinated, as we've known for quite a while now. But if you look at the vaccinated group who's currently in the hospital with the COVID-19 infection, there are five times more people who are in there who'd only had the two shots than the three. The booster is really, really effective. It's very necessary. I've got my third shot scheduled for, what, about 2 weeks from now. A little less than 2 weeks. That booster shot gives you a lot of immunity. If you have access to one, make sure to actually follow up and schedule it, because that's also been seen in the data that people who've gotten the two booster shot, or I'm sorry, the two original shots, don't necessarily follow up as well with that third appointment. Go get that thing. That is really, really important.
That is the moral of the story here. What we can sit and speculate all day long about Omicron and worry about Greek symbols. They were always scary, but, you know, now they're way scarier.
Yeah. Oh, and
we don't need to do that, right?
No, just go continue social distancing in a meet people outside if possible. I know it's really cold here. Wear your mask, get that booster shot. And last and certainly least, do not try to get a vaccination at Lübeck Airport in Germany. Gabe, I don't know if you followed this story.
Why not?
Because this is where dozens of people were injected with an illegal mystery COVID vaccine before police shut it down.
How? How did they set it up?
This is a guy named
did they pitch a tent? This is a COVID-19 vaccination.
No,
here?
No. It's this guy. He's a doctor and an entrepreneur. His name's Winfried here in Germany, and he owns the Lübeck Airport. And over the last year or so, he developed his own vaccine.
What did he call it?
I don't know what the name is, and I'm not even sure I would say the name on the air, due to fears that people might try to find it online and have it shipped to them. But it was developed without any official recognition, and he just set up a vaccination drive-through at his airport, and roughly 50 people appear to have received the mystery shot. I'm reading now from DW's online article.
What happened to them?
And more than 200 people were in line when the authorities showed up. I don't know. Nobody knows what's in it. He claims it's 97% effective, but who knows? He didn't test it.
Can anybody produce their own vaccine?
No.
Like, could I make mine?
No. There's a
like a bottle of orange juice and just give it to people.
If you want to go to jail.
Immunization juice.
I understand this eccentric entrepreneur trying to do this. What I don't understand is the 50 people who allowed themselves to get vaccinated, the other 200 who were waiting for that vaccination. Where do you find these people? Or did he successfully trick them into thinking that this was legitimate? I don't know. The only thing I can take away from it is don't get a vaccination at an airport in Lübeck, Germany, and make sure that your vaccination drive-through center is legitimate. Almost all of them are. But this was a kind of a wild story out of Germany.
And don't worry about Omicron yet.
Yeah, take a deep breath. No, that's the biggest. Anxiety due to news headlines and too much news consumption is real, and it can ruin your day or week.
Wait until there's enough data to support any claims of higher transmissibility. Until then, it's all good. Don't go to Lübeck.
Don't
drink the juice in Lübeck.
Science Unscripted.